I have been much before God for this service this afternoon. I want to read a few verses with you from the first epistle of John. John's first epistle. We are all aware that the Apostle John has been called the Apostle of Love. And of course that characteristic of John is clearly seen in his writing. But it is interesting to note that the Apostle of Love had the strongest possible thing to say about the enemies of the gospel, and the clearest possible instruction about what we should do with the enemies of the gospel. For Christian love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. The fourth chapter of 1 John, and the verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. True faith discriminates. True faith separates. True faith makes a choice. There's some whack-at-the-wall Christians in the believe everything. And to believe the devil's lie, as well as professing to believe God's truth. Now we're told we're not to believe every spirit, but we're to try the spirits, whether they are of God. So every preacher must be put on trial. Every church must be put on trial. Every organization must be put on trial. We have to try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets, doesn't say because false prophets are gone out into the world, it says many false prophets. So in John's day, in the first century of the Christian church, there were many false prophets. I tell you, in this 20th century, there's millions more. The God's people are in a minority. I want to say something else. God's people will always be in a minority. The Lord said, fear not, little flock. And there'll always be a little flock. God's not going to give us the majority. Praise God, He's going to add to our number. For the people He redeemed are a great number which no man can number. But we're never going to be in the majority. And I see that these denominations that are in apostasy always refer themselves as the major denominations. Hallelujah. That shows they're apostate right away. Because God's people are in the minority. And thank God, one with God, although he's in a minority, wins the battle. For of God before us, who can be against us? Then it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Can you know? That's the big question. Can you really be dead on sure today what's of God and what is of compromise? Can we? My, this book is full of knowing. You can really know. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And of course, I want you to notice that it says Jesus Christ is come. That pre-establishes his pre-existence. I couldn't have come here except I was somewhere else before I came. Any fool would know that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was somewhere before he came. He was the pre-existent Son of God. But I want you to notice something. Come in the flesh. How did he come in the flesh? He came in the flesh by the virgin birth. So let me tell you something. Anybody that questions the virgin birth is of hell. Now any church that countenances any questioning of the virgin birth is of hell. Hope you're getting it. You know, some people said to me, what will a free church do if the Irish Presbyterian Church comes out of the World Council of Churches? I met an Irish Presbyterian, a woman that stayed in the apostasy that long. She's like a pit pony. She's lived in the dark that long, she can't see now at all. And she says, we're all coming out. She said, you know, if your church came out of the World Council of Churches, it wouldn't make one button of difference to its apostasy. It didn't become apostate when it joined the World Council of Churches. It joined the World Council of Churches because it was apostate. Way back in 1926, the General Assembly voted that Professor Dealey was right when he said Jesus Christ was a Galilean Jew with the limitations of his upbringing and age. And then, but in the General Assembly, took the turn to hell, and it has been going to hell ever since. Hope you're getting it. You know, we've got a lot of pussyfooters around today, and they don't like to tell the truth. I was sitting with that dear old elder in our Dungannon Church, Andrew McMullen. He was 50 years in the Irish Presbyterian Church, the elder in Bemper. He said, the only thing, I was too long there. He said, that's my only regret. Too long there. But he was telling me about the time when the Reverend Willie Nesbitt was minister of them. Reverend Willie Nesbitt was one of the men that fought Professor David. And he said, as a young student sitting under Professor David said, Jesus Christ was the illegitimate son of Joseph and Mary. I've got that leaf. I've corresponded with Willie Nesbitt, who went to Canada and formed the Emmanuel Bible Church in Toronto, now the Calvary Church in that land. And is this the offering, brother? None of you haven't got 2,000 pounds to go home. Amen. Well, the total offering. Is this without the 700? Well, that's the total thing. The total offering was £1,378.08. So you may have a retiring offering, Ernie. Where are you, Ernie Monteith? You get the baskets at the door. When they're leaving, you get that up a bit higher. Amen. It's not too bad, brother. You asked for 1,200. Well, you should ask for more. Amen. That's why you only got that. Well, let me say thank God for the gifts of God's people. Let me tell you something, Frank. I wrote and corresponded with this man, and he told me, remember, Professor Davies said. And that's the man the Irish Presbyterian Church in 1926 said he is a sound minister of the gospel. And so much did they delight in him that they made him principal of their college. And then moderator of their assembly. So at that day, and there's been men in the Irish Presbyterian Church out of family ministers, and they have been coming out ever since. Every June, they're coming out. Man, you just wait till June. And man, we're going to have a great fight. I met a wee Presbyterian elder from Bonavia, and he said to me, we're all coming out. So I met him after the assembly. Say, where are you now? Oh, well, he says, you know, we have a year to do you. A year? Man, I'm telling you, he'll be in it till I carry him out in his coffin.
That's right.
Yeah. He's dead already, and the place for him to stay is the dead on. If he had any life in him, he would get out. I knew a wee man. We Pastor Hardy had a strange experience. They said they pronounced him dead, and they took him down to the morgue, and they stretched him on the slab. And he knew he was there, and he knew he was alive. Reverend Barry wouldn't have known anything. And the man came to shave him, and he got the wobbling brush. And he got the pint tin with hot water in it. And he was just about to put the soap on Harding's face. And Harding and the slab went. And the man threw the wobbling brush in the air. And he said he's living. And the nurses and doctors gave what to do. Did they keep him on the slab? No, they got him out of the dead house. When you have life, you don't stay in the dead house. And the people that can stay in a dead morgue of an apostate church are demonstrating to the world they haven't got life. Who would want to stay in a dead house? You want to be among the people that have life. No wonder the rain came on. But it started when you were speaking. I noticed. Amen. Now, let's look at it again. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. To the Irish Presbyterian Church that voted in 1926 that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh by the virgin's birth according to the Bible, God said they're not of God. I didn't. You see, we have raised a lot of pussyfoot evangelicals today. Emphasis on the jealous. And they're dead scared of God's word. And this, now look at it carefully. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist's kingdom got a great lift the other day when the old apostate church stayed in for another year, and they'll be in, as I've said, forever. And this nation of ours voted to stay in the common market. I'm telling you, the kingdom of Antichrist is moving forward. And the great tragedy is that there are leaders in Ulster today, and they have no spiritual discernment. This battle is not a battle about economics, not a battle about keeping factories going and a better roads and better houses in Northern Ireland. This is a battle of spiritual liberty. We're fighting for our faith. I'm not a bit interested in what political settlement we have as long as Protestantism shall be preserved. That's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for the preservation of Protestantism in this island of Ireland. I'm fighting for my heritage. Man, thank God our fathers knew what it was about. They said home rule was Rome rule. They knew what they were fighting for. And I listened to some of these unionists that we have abroad today who said, well, it's better economically to be in the union. Well, I want to tell you, if it was worse economically to be in the union, as long as the union preserved my heritage, I would go without a lot of things. I'd rather run barefoot and be a Protestant than run on the best shoes like Mr. McCrae's. He always used to wear very nice shoes. I almost break the 10th commandment when I see his shoes. Let me tell you this, then run a nice shoe and be a slave of the Pope. That's what it's all about, you know. When it comes down, heard about a politician the other day who said that any politician that taught religion was lazy. I want to tell you, any politician that doesn't know the religious issues in Northern Ireland is a fool. I want to say that. I tell you, there's a battle on. And you know what God's doing? God's building free Presbyterian churches to preserve Protestantism in Ireland. Amen. That's what God's doing. And I want to tell you this, friend, if the border went tomorrow, and if we were overthrown politically, I believe that Protestantism will never be overthrown. And every free Presbyterian church that goes up, hallelujah, it's a nail in the coffin of the Pope. And man, I would like to put the nail not only in his coffin, but through his skull as well. That's quite scriptural, you know, to kneel in a coffin.
Amen.
There was a wee woman, and she brought the man who was Antichrist. Sisera was a type of Antichrist. And she brought him into the tent, and she put her hand to the hammer. Not the wee tiny thing you're giving me this afternoon. She brought a good sledgehammer out, and she took a nail, and while he was sleeping, she laid the nail between his two eyes. Bump! 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 And she fastened him to the ground. You say that wasn't very Christian. Well, I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible gives that woman a title higher than is given to the Virgin Mary. You just go and read it. Yeah. You need to read the scriptures, and if you can't see it, put your winkers on, and they'll help you to read it. Protestantism must be preserved in this land. And if Protestantism wins, we win. If Protestantism goes down, we go down. And all these pussyfooters that we have around today are dead scared of being called a fraud. I was reading an article in this week's Christian Catholic, the Catholic Herald, The Paradox of Paisley. And they say this man, he goes round and stirs up people against popery.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'm glad about that. I read that and I said, hallelujah. And I'm doing well. Even the Catholic Herald says I stir up people against popery. I've no apology to make for that. Protestantism is biblical Christianity. Protestantism. And we are called as free Presbyterians. You know what we're doing? We're re-establishing Protestantism in Ulster. That's what you know, Martin Luther, that he re-established Protestantism. He went back to the foundations of the Christian faith. He got people out of the old apostate Roman Catholic Church 400 years ago, and he re-established Protestantism. Now the Protestant churches are apostate, and we're doing the same thing. In the 20th century Reformation, we're bringing people out of apostate Protestantism to reestablish Protestantism. That's what we're doing. And I'm telling you, God's doing the job well. You know, these old apostates are getting worried about the free press. They're really getting worried now. See, the Methodist Conference says their numbers are dwindling. Hallelujah. When I read that, it said, praise the Lord. And I'm glad to see old Gallagher's crowd going down. And it's nice to know. And they're terrible worried about their money. They had a meeting in the cathedral the other night. And they called in every business committee. The business committee of the choir. The business committee of the building fund. The business committee of the morning service. The business committee of their afternoon rally. To see how they could get money. They said, the money's going down. I want to tell you, the only people that really give to God's work are God's people. They'll give God's people. Man walked into my church the other Sunday night. He threw down a check of 16,000 quid. He says, that's an interest-free loan for me. God bless you. I'm praying that when he comes back, he'll say, I'm going to give you the whole 16,000. You don't ask, you know, you don't get. Let me tell you, friend, God will give you enough to finance his will. You, friends in Oma, preach the word of God, stand through the Christ, and you'll not be a penny in debt. God will clear off your debt. He will. But if you're a lot of pussyfoot, and if you don't know what way you're going to go. I remember Mr. Nicholson telling the story of an old woman, and she was crossing a busy road. And the first step that she put out, she says, good Lord. And the next step, she says, good devil. She says, I'm keeping in the both of them. I hope I'll get across the road. It was a mighty crude illustration, but it's like some people today that want to be in both sides. This church is in the side of uncompromising fundamentalism. We are a fundamentalist church. No other foundation has any man laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we're in the battle. And if you think when you get this church up, the battle's all over. A woman came to our martyr's memorial church. with a friend of mine the first Sunday I preached in Appaloosa. And she says, you know, I believe Mr. Paisley will become respectable. She says, you know, he's now a member of both parliaments, and he's got this great big fine church. And it would be nice if he became a nice man. So he sat beside her that night, and I was mighty rough-tongued, and he kept digging her ribs and saying, man, isn't that good? Isn't that good? And when she came out, she says, he's worse than ever. Amen. Hallelujah. This free Presbyterian church is not going to compromise as far as the leadership is concerned. Our presbytery, our ministers, our students are standing for God down the line. And if there's a weakling amongst us, we'll get the weaklings out. We're going to have no weak preachers or weak churches or pussyfooters around us. We're going to battle for God and truth. And there's no let up in this war. This battle's on. You'll build a church if you're a battling church. If you're not a battling church, you're finished. Now let's look at verse 4. I haven't even announced my text yet. Man. Is there a meeting tonight? A meeting? I don't know all that you have in your mind, brother. Sorry. Is there a meeting tonight? Amen. It's 8 o'clock. Don't worry. Look, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because, look at this verse, brethren, get this. I don't think I need to preach this. I just need to read you the word of God. Look at this verse. Because greater is he that is in you. You get that, man? Get your hands in that one. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Man, isn't that good? You know, a man met me when the church, the free church started, and he said, you know, it'll all crumble and decay. Say, you made a mistake. To see why? Says I, God, in the midst of her, dwell. No!